For us this morning, I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. You know, there's a lot of people that don't have hope today. There's a lot of people that are in situations and they don't think that there's any way out. And before we get this message this morning, I want to point out a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It says, there is no temptation, no trial or test taking you, but such as is common to man. Everybody has been there. We all like to watch these movies where at the end the hero wins. When you thought it was all hopeless, there's triumph. There could be triumph in the Christian's life.
Amen.
But this verse says, there is no temptation taking you as such as common to man. But God is faithful.
Amen.
Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape.
Amen.
That you may be able to endure. This week I got a text from another church member. Church member says, all these things are piling up. Why do all these things have to happen at the same time? You know, some people will say that's Murphy. Okay? But it seems that way, doesn't it? Seems that when you get one thing going wrong, then another thing goes wrong, and then another thing goes wrong, and then all of a sudden, everything's going wrong, and you're discouraged. But there's hope. God's got this. Or you could be like our son-in-law who was watching on FaceTime during the delivery and complication happened, had to have an emergency C-section. Well, chaos, and all he could do was watch. And then they wheeled her out, and all I could see was a blank room and all the people talking and everything else. But God's got this.
Amen.
See, things, when things are out of our control, sometimes we lose hope. Well, I want to give you encouragement this morning. God's got you.
Amen.
The title of my sermon this morning is, God is always one step ahead.
Amen.
Whatever problem you're going through, whatever trial you're going through, God is one step ahead. He knows how to solve the problem.
Amen.
The issue is, are we patient enough to let Him do it? Are we trusting enough to let Him do it? So, 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 12 kind of gives an illustration about how God's one step ahead and how He can keep you one step ahead. And we'll use this as a kickoff passage this morning. But before we read God's Word, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You that You are the God of all hope. You're the God of all joy. You're the God of all peace. You're the God of all grace. You're the God of all love. You're the God of salvation. You're the God of all power. And Lord, we come into Your presence today just praising You for that. But Lord, we praise You that You know the solution before the problem even exists. We praise You, Lord, for our protection. We praise You, Lord, for our provision. We praise You for our plan, the plan that You have for us. Help us to be receptive to that, Lord. Help us to follow You. Lord, we ask that You just be with the reading of Your Word today, Lord, the preaching of it, that Your Holy Spirit would have full reign. And Father, we would be changed. Lord, I pray that if someone here does not know You as Savior, Lord, they have no hope. And Lord, that they come to understand that You died on the cross for their sins. You were buried, You rose again, and You offer eternal life to all who will ask and You'll forgive their sins. Lord, I pray that people will find that hope today. Lord, help us to turn to You for our hope. And we ask that You just bind Satan on our behalf, and that we leave this place changed. We ask these things in Jesus' name, believing that it will happen. Amen.
Amen.
In way of introduction, Israel's been split into two kingdoms, the southern kingdom, which was Judah and Benjamin, and the northern kingdom, which are the other 10 tribes. The 10 tribes were close to adversaries, those adversaries being the Assyrian Empire and also Syria. And the northern kingdom had a lot of good land, a lot of good resources. And they were under attack. And the king of Syria always constantly was trying to attack them. And we pick up this in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8. It says here, it says, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with a servant, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. He knew from intelligence where the Israelites were going to be, and he said, I'm going to camp there and prepare myself for battle. And the man of God said unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. You know, a lot of things can be avoided if we just listen. We just listen to the Holy Spirit. We just listen to God's Word. We just listen. And not put ourselves in the binds that we often find ourselves in. This is Elisha, the successor of Elijah, that's saying this. And so the king of Israel sent to the place where the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once nor twice. This kept on happening over and over again. The Syrian army would go someplace, and Israel would leave one step ahead. One step ahead. King of Syria got angry about this. Therefore, the heart of King Syria was sore troubled for this. How can they know? How could this happen? For this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? He said, there's got to be a spy in my closest advisors that's telling Israel where I'm going to be, so they're always out of reach. Verse 12, though, gives the answer. God's doing this. The man of God is doing this. And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. See, God knows what you're going through. He has a solution. He knows that the attack is going to come, but he's going to give you an ability to endure it. He's going to allow you to stay one step ahead. Being one step ahead of a situation can avoid danger. We talk about the Christmas story. And there was danger in the Christmas story. After Christ was born in Bethlehem, the wise men came to Jerusalem and asked King Herod, where is he born, the king of the Jews? Herod said, no, I'm the king. He's not the king. And he sends the wise men away. They knew the scripture. They knew the town. And the wise men come, and we know that they gave gifts and everything. And they were warned, don't go back to Herod. Don't tell him where Jesus is. And they went another way. God's one step ahead. Let's see. He comes to Joseph in a dream in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. And when they were departed, the wise men, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and there, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. No one's going to get in the way of God's plan. We even see this prophesied in Revelation 12. God's one step ahead. No weapons as fashioned against it can prosper. Later on, Paul gets converted on the Damascus Road. He goes to Damascus. He meets Ananias. Ananias prays for him. And he gets his eyesight back. And then tells him, you're going to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And Paul begins to preach. Folks, when God changes your life, you got to do something about it. You got to tell somebody about it. So he starts preaching in Damascus, and all the Jews go nuts. Because they thought that they were going to help them get the Christians in prison. And now he's preaching Christ. They wanted to kill him. They came up with a plot. They were going to lie in wait around every gate of the city. God told the disciples, he told Paul what was going to happen. In Acts chapter 9, verses 24 and 25, it says, but their lying in wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. Later on, he gives a testimony of this, how God was with him, how God led him. See, God knows how to keep you one step ahead. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Notice what he says here, the godly. And to reserve the unjust until the day of punishment, a judgment to be punished. See, God knows this. If he didn't, he wouldn't be God. God knows that being one step ahead is all you need to avoid danger. God knows that one step ahead is all you need in certain situations to have victory. Amen. Only being one step ahead ensures that you keep looking at God. In Psalm 119, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Mm-hmm. And we've taught through that. It's basically enough light for one step. Not to eliminate the whole path, but just one step. Because God wants us to be faithful and follow him. He knows which way to go. God knows how to keep you one step ahead. God's got the means available to keep you one step ahead. On Sunday night, we'll be going through end time prophecy. And Revelation chapter 12 talks about the fall of Satan and the angels and the birth of Christ and the attempt to take Christ's life, which we just read about. But in the future, there will be people, and the Jews, that will not take the mark of the beast. And God will send them off in the wilderness and protect them. He'll keep them one step out of Satan's hand, out of the Antichrist's hand. And in Revelation 12, verses 15 and 16, it says, and the serpent cast out his mouth, water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. God will move heaven and earth to keep you one step ahead.
Amen.
And the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. See, here's the thing that you take away from this. God will stay one step ahead of us when we follow him.
Amen.
Because he'll be in the proper position ahead of us. Right. Not beside us, not behind us, although he's there. But we need God to lead us.
Amen.
In Psalm 23, verses 2 and 3, it says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You know the best path that you can be on is the one that God leads you on?
Right.
No matter what you think, no matter what the situation is, no matter how hopeless it is, that's the best path you can be on. Verse 3 says, he restored my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. God will stay one step ahead when we follow him. So today I want to look at three things very quickly about why we need to follow God's leading, why he stays one step ahead. First of all, God's plan is perfect.
Amen.
Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a what? Expected end. God has the end already. He has the perfect plan for you. We just need to follow it. You know why? Because he knows the end from the beginning. In Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 and 10, it says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declare the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times the things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God's plan is perfect because he knows the end. You know, sometimes I'm a sports nut for basketball, college basketball. And I like watching reruns, okay, of a game. Even though I know that they win, I want to see how they won. God knows you're going to win. Don't we want to see how it happens? Let's be part of the path. See, God's eternal perspective ensures his plans will prevail. Secondly, God's plan is perfect because he guides us in the right path when we lean on him. You know, have people given you advice? It was good advice. You said, I'm going to do it. And then all of a sudden, you know, I should have taken that advice. I think we've always been there. God gives us advice. We need to follow on it. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says here, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The first thing is, we need to make a decision that we're going to listen to God's advice. Then you'll stay one step ahead. If you don't, we'll wind up being one step behind. And then in trouble. But we need to listen to him. In Isaiah 30, verse 21, it says, and thine ears shall hear a voice behind thee. Now I know this is about talking about ahead, but God is behind us and is beside us and around us. Yes, I understand that. But he leads us. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it when ye turn to the right hand and we turn to the left. Have you ever heard that thing? Don't do that. But we won't listen to it because we're smarter than that, right? Mm-hmm. And then we wind up going the wrong way. I did that the other night. I was going the wrong way down the street because I didn't see the divider. Okay? The issue is we need to follow the signs and listen to him. He guides us on the right path. His plans are beyond our understanding. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my way, your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's thoughts and ways are higher than ours. That's just a statement of fact. Sometimes we can get lost in the details of the present situation we're in and forget what happens. But we just need to take one step at a time and let God lead us, and we'll find out what happens in the end. I think the greatest example of that is the life of Joseph. Joseph had dreams about what was going to happen. He tells his brothers, they get all hacked off. They sell him into slavery. First of all, they want to kill him. But then they sell him into slavery. And now the guy who has these grandiose dreams is now a slave. He winds up in Potiphar's house. We know what happens. He rises up. He's the chief steward of the house. He's the butler. He's running everything. And then he's falsely accused and he goes into prison. He winds up being the trustee in the prison. He helps people out, but they forget about him. He's letting God tell you one step ahead. And then he's elevated because he has wisdom. He's elevated to be the prime minister of Egypt. And then there's a famine in the land. If you're not with God, there's going to be a famine in your land. And so Jacob sends Joseph's brothers down to Egypt to get food. And who's giving out the food now? Joseph. They don't know him at first. Then the second time, he reveals himself to them. And they all get scared. And then Joseph, in Genesis 50, verse 20, it says, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. To bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Amen. Let God stay one step ahead. Amen. Follow him. His plan is perfect. His timing is perfect. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, it says, to everything there is a season and a time, to every what? Purpose under heaven. He acts at just the right time. You ever heard the phrase, in the nick of time? Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11 says this. It says, "And he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end." God's timing is always beautiful and appropriate. We might think it's not right, but in the end we find out that it's the right thing. And that you were in the right place at the right time with the right people. You may not see it at first, but then when it's over and you trust God through it, you'll see that it worked. God's timing is perfect because he acts at just the right time. He provides strength in the waiting. You know, that gives us hope. He provides strength. He provides inner strength. Psalm chapter 27 verse 24 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. And he shall what? Strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Now, I'll tell you what. He's not going to help you. Say, it's not going to work. I'm not going to listen to it. I'm not going to have any. I'm just going to, it's too big for me. And you never call out to him. But God's timing is perfect. And he provides inner strength if we wait on him. He'll strengthen your heart, which leads to outer strength. Our physical strength. Isaiah 40 verse 20 through 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." You know, waiting on God gives and renews our strength because His timing is always perfect. And you can trust in that. You know, example about people messing up timing, Sarah and Abraham. Think about this. God gives Abraham this promise, "You're going to have a son. Your seed's going to be as numerous as the sand of the seashore, as the stars in the heaven." Abraham goes home and tells Sarah, "Hey, God told me this." Year one goes by. Year two goes by. Year three goes by. Year four goes by. 10 years go by. And now they say, "Well, maybe it's not working out the way that we thought. Let's do it this way. Hey, Abraham, go take Hagar, have a kid by her." And that's the answer. No, it's not. You need to wait. God's timing is perfect. You know, sometimes the timing is just so that we get there. And we realize it's God working and not us. Make sense? And so we know about the Ishmael thing. And then another decade goes by. And then God comes back because God's going to keep His promise. Because He knows what the plan is. And He knows that Abraham and Sarah had to have Isaac. He's the son of promise. Even in spite of what Abraham did, even in spite of what Sarah did, even in spite of their impatience, even in spite of their lack of faith, trying to do things their way. Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 and 2 says that the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the what? Set time. And God's plan, not yours. You know, oftentimes we run ahead of God. We want the instant faith thing. It's not like potatoes. Okay? At the set time at which God had spoken to him. Oh, folks, we need to realize, to trust in God, we need to understand that God's plan is perfect. Now help us to keep Him ahead of us. We need to understand His timing is perfect. And that we'll trust in Him to lead us through the issue. You know, as we talk about Christmas, God sent Jesus at just the right time for the world. Galatians chapter 4 verses 4 and 5 it says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. It was time for redemption. It was time for God's plan that we might be received, the adoption of the Son. Guys, Christ's coming was perfectly timed in history for redemption.
Amen.
People weren't looking, though. 400 years have gone by. No prophets have been speaking. Only a few people recognized Christ's birth. And that news kind of got lost. What about the shepherds? They went back and they told people what they saw. What happened? They didn't care. People didn't care. And as we said this morning, it was the right time. But Isaiah 9:2 says this, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. But later on in verse 6, it's for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government should be on his shoulder. His name should be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. It was the right time. God's timing is perfect. He said Jesus at the right time. Maybe this message this morning is at the right time for you to keep God ahead of us. God's provision is perfect. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, the issue is he's one step ahead. We have light for one step ahead. We have faith for one more day. We know what the end game is. We know what the end is. But what about today? What are you going to do today? Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. He provides our daily needs. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11 says, give us this day our daily bread. We need to trust him for our daily bread. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be added to you. Don't take any thought for tomorrow, for the morrow will take thought of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Your God knows that you have these needs, and he'll provide all these things if you just let him. His provision is perfect. He'll supply all your need according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He supplies grace for trials. Last week, Will Rogers was talking about our insufficiency. He was talking about the infirmities that he had, the weaknesses that he had. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, it says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. More, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God wants to stay one step ahead, so his power stays in your life today. God's grace is sufficient, especially in our weakness, especially when we don't see any way out, especially when we say, I need help. He provides daily needs. He supplies grace for trials. He delivers abundantly. Recently, we went through this passage in Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We think that we have this problem and God can't solve it. We just passively look and we don't cry out to him. And we feel helpless and powerless. That's when God can work in your life, when you realize, I can't do it, but you can. But all that we ask is according to the power that worketh in us, but you've got to allow the power to work inside of you. God can do far more than we ask or imagine. We're supposed to cast our cares on him, for he cares for us. He's one step. He's got it. He's God. Psalm 23 says, I will fear no evil without a word. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In the book of 1 Kings, it talks about the prophet Elijah. And Elijah did some great things, but He's scared to death of Jezebel. He's scared to death of Ahab. And he makes a prophecy, and God says, you go out in the desert, go to this brook, and just stay there under the tree. Now it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. So now he goes out there and gets water from the brook and these ravens. Now I've never seen a raven give up food. I've seen them eat food. They eat everything. But they're giving him food. And so Elijah stays there, birds bring him food, gets water, and then the brook dries up. Well, what's going to do? Yeah, go down to this town called Zarephath. And you'll find a widow woman. And so he does. And we know the story. The woman's gathering sticks so she can make the last meal for her son and herself, and then they're going to starve to death. And he has the audacity to come and says, can you make me something? And wait, we don't have any more. And Elijah says, just make me something. Just take this step. God's got this. And so she made him something and made them something. And they looked in there and there was something there. And the next meal, there's something there. The next day, there's something there. The next week, there's something there. Just enough. One step ahead of famine. One step ahead of starvation. One step ahead of the need. Month goes by, there's something there. Year goes by, there's something there. 2 years go by, there's something there. 3 years go by, there's something. There's still something there. God's got this. And the barrel of meal wasted not. Neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which is spoke by Elijah.
Amen.
You know, God doesn't work in our lives because we don't think he will. God doesn't work in our lives because we give up too early.
Amen.
God doesn't work in our lives because we don't care. God's one step ahead. He wants to keep us one step ahead too. That's how we live by faith.
Amen.
God is one step ahead if we follow him. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, I'll close with this. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Today we have an invitation. If you need God's provision, come to him today. If you need salvation, come to him today. Come to his throne. Come to the altar. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. In what? Time of need. Every one of us in here needs something today. Find it in God. Amen? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this day. Lord, I just ask you this time of invitation. Just search your hearts, Lord. Lord, if we don't know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that today would be the day of our salvation. Lord, I pray that for us that may not be trusting you, that we would align our hearts to you, align our will to yours, and that we keep you one step ahead, so we stay one step ahead. Lord, help us. We're a needy people. Help us to understand that your plan is perfect, your timing is perfect, your provision is perfect, and help us to rest on that, and that you would change our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.